Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Tarab family of Syria arrived here in Nanaimo on July the 5th. And since then, I've had the privilege of getting to know them better and of assisting them in some of their settling in. And I've had help. Some of you have also helped in a variety of different ways. Thank you for that. Several weeks ago, I met with a support worker at the Multicultural Society. And he told me that the family's experience here in Canada settling would be a bit like a roller coaster ride. There would be times when, at first especially, the joy and the relief of escaping their war-torn home of Syria and their temporary refuge in Jordan, times when it would overwhelm them with happiness. And we certainly saw that when the Tarab family and also two other Syrian families arrived at the airport. There was so much joy in the air. You didn't even have to understand the language of Arabic, which I don't. But you could just feel a sense of excitement and joy, families being reunited and families safe in a new home. There was also quite a bit of joy last weekend when a group of us got together and helped them to move into their new place up on Weber Street. But they've also had times when things have been not so exciting or high up there. Times when they've been struggling with cultural differences, with the language that is still strange to them, especially to the parents. And times when we've had to wait upon bureaucratic foot dragging for various things that we've been trying to get arranged for them. And that, at times, has brought them down to earth again with a bit of a crash. Thankfully, though, they are a close-knit family. And quite resilient. And I pray with help, God's help they, and the help of their neighbors that they will make a good life here in Canada. Now, unlike today's Syrian newcomers, Abram did not come to the unfamiliar land of Canaan to escape violence or destruction in Ur, his homeland. Abram immigrated to that land of Canaan with his family at God's command. Like the Tarab family, Abram's family had ups and downs in their own new land. God commanded Abram to move his family to Canaan, and when he did, it might have sounded to Abram like he was coming to a wide open land, a land where he could settle and pioneer and claim it as his own. That is what God, from the words God said, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. These were God's promises. But wide open land was not what they found there. Canaan was already peopled with many different tribes living in walled cities ruled by kings. Though Canaan was their promised land, Abram and his family had to live as outsiders, nomads, moving from place to place wherever they could find proper land for the grazing, for their livestock. And throughout the years, they became more and more acquainted with the people of this strange country. After a series of rainless years, Canaan suffered from a severe drought. Abram and his family were forced to leave Canaan and to travel south to Egypt to find better pasture lands. While they were there, Abram got into trouble. He encouraged Sarai, his wife, to pretend that she was his sister. Abram feared that in this strange country, the beauty of his wife might lead an Egyptian man to desire her and to kill him in order to claim her as his own. In fact, it did happen that the Pharaoh himself saw Sarai and took her for his wife. And Abram suffered indignity for his failure to trust the Lord, who finally allowed the truth to come out that she was married to him and set Sarai free. Over time, Abram's nephew Lot and his family left the group to establish themselves in the southern city of Sodom. After that, Abram heard that an alliance of kings had formed to fight against Sodom. Lot and his family survived that assault, but they were captured and carried off by the marauders to be their slaves. And so Abram organized a group of his servants as a militia to rescue Lot and his family. And God gave them success in that fight. So it was not a boring life for Abram and his family in the land of Canaan. But through the years, one of God's promises remained unfulfilled. For God had told Abram that he would make a great nation of him. But he and Sarah had been unable to have any children of their own. How could Abram ever hope to become a great nation without sons and daughters to give him grandsons and granddaughters and so on? It perplexed Abram, and perhaps it also frightened him. Had he moved his family far from his old home for nothing? God said, "No. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward will be great." God had acted as Abram's strong shield in Egypt by protecting him from the anger of Pharaoh after he learned of Abram's deception. God had also protected Abram and his servants in the battles they fought with Lot's Canaanite captors. God was true to his promise. "I will bless those who bless you, and those who dishonor you, I will curse." As surely as God had protected Abram, God assured him that he would reward him with the fulfillment of his entire promise. But Abram wondered how this would happen with infertility still standing between a family for him and his wife. It appeared more likely to Abram that his inheritance would be received by Eliezer, his trusted servant, or by one of Eliezer's sons. But again, God said, "No. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir." And he brought him outside and said, "Look toward heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Abram's fears lost their grip on his heart. In the early night sky, he saw the brightest of the stars already shining. And he knew that by full nightfall, they would be joined by countless others. The Lord had promised him that his descendants would be more than he could ever count. Once again, Abram's heart rested in faith that God would keep his promise. What about you and me? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we were baptized. With his holy name upon us, God gives each of us his saving promises. That God our Creator sent his Son, Jesus, to be the Christ for us. And that he lived and died and rose from the grave to save us. And that he poured out the Holy Spirit upon us to empower us through faith to live in freedom from Satan and sin's power to tempt and condemn us, and from death's power to destroy us. As baptized believers, we are God's beloved children, called to journey with him throughout our lives by faith in his promises. We are his servants, called to love our neighbors in the ways of Jesus. The home God has promised us is heaven, the life beyond this one that will be revealed gloriously when Christ returns for his redeemed and resurrected people. God has truly blessed us richly through Jesus. His gifts fill our lives with incomparable joy, peace, and hope. But they do have to compete for our attention in this world. People of this world teach us to cherish our personal dreams of accomplishment or experience, and to seek happiness through the fulfillment of our dreams and wishes. So in youth, we hunt for that perfect job or the mate that is just right for us. And then in the later of our days, we draw up a bucket list to help us to get the most out of what remains in our life. Today, people claim the right to live life as they wish, and they vigorously defy anybody who questions them. Others have their eyes set on the bigger picture of life. Through the lens of scientific research, they see the growing strain and stress that our population puts upon the resources of our planet, and they raise the alarm for us to change and adopt an overwhelming variety of changes in life for the sake of planetary preservation. Both of these current life philosophies hinder us from living the faithful life God has given us in baptism, by tempting us to turn from trusting God as our true north compass point in life to ourselves, our wishes, our strength, and our understanding. But when we trust in ourselves, the result is always fear. What if I can't do everything I want in life? What if we can't do enough to avoid destroying our planet's climate? The fear itself signals the error that we make by believing that our lives are simply ours to live, either for ourselves individually or for the greater good of us all. Fear grips us when we live as if we are gods instead of creatures of God. For Jesus said, "Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." In baptism, God promised us that we live well in this life and for eternity, not by striving to rescue ourselves or this world from death, but by letting go of our confidence in ourselves to strengthen our hold on the salvation Jesus died and rose to give us. We are not merely individuals whose happiness in life depends on the fulfillment of our dreams and wishes, nor are we superheroes who are tasked with saving the world by our own wisdom. No, we are God's children, made by Him and redeemed by the blood of Christ. He has promised us an inheritance in heaven that we did nothing to earn, an inheritance that will last forever. Life with Him. So here's how we live our lives: by giving priority to listening to the promises that our God has given us, that are written for us in the Scriptures. We also feed on those promises when we come before the altar here to eat the body bread and drink the wine blood in the Lord's Supper. God's promises give us faith in Him, which is stronger than our fears. They give us righteousness, a right relationship with God, out of which we live with confidence in Jesus to be our strong shield who protects us, and our great reward who provides for us today, tomorrow, and forever. By the power of God's promises, we know that nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus. And we live and breathe the prayer of this hymn: "Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous seas. Unknown waves before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous shoal. chart and compass come from thee, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.